Hi, welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, He made into a woman. And He brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called." Oh, man. That's like the oldest preacher joke ever. Y'all still laugh. I love y'all. "Because she was taken out of man." Just a side comment. Notice that when God made woman, He didn't ask for Adam's help. Matter of fact, He put Adam to sleep because He knew that if Adam was awake, Adam would have tried to help and he would have interfered. And it just really makes me think, God doesn't need our help to make our spouse. I think sometimes we get into marriages and we start seeing issues in the person we're married to and we try to fix them as if we made them. Let the one who made them fix them. And you just love them. I'm preaching already. Verse 24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, for one man and his wife were not shame." Father God, we're grateful. We're thankful, God, that we are your children. The Bible says the sheep of your pasture. Your word says that your sheep have the ability to hear your voice. So God, we pray right now that we wouldn't hear a preacher preach, God, but that we would hear you speak to us. God, our ears are attuned, our hearts are open, and God, when you speak, we will obey. God, we're grateful and we're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five two people. Tell somebody, welcome to the jungle. Come on, tell somebody. Tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're new, my name is Stephen Chandler, Senior Pastor of Destiny Church, and we started a series last week called The Jungle. Somebody say The Jungle. Every time we preach, because everybody knows that all pastors are long-winded, and my goal is not to have a four-hour service. I think 3 hours is just enough to be able to get as much Jesus. Nobody laughed. That's okay. But what we do is we take one message and we string it out across a 4 to 6 week period. One, so that we can actually unpack it at the depth that it needs to be unpacked. But how many people know that none of us are really suffering for not knowing what to do? We all know what to do. But there's like this major gap between what we know and what we actually live. Quiet room right now. Like, if we just talked about how much Bible we know, I don't care if this is your first time in church or you've been here for years and years and years, you know a whole lot of Bible. You know more Bible than you think you know. But if we talked about how much I know as opposed to how much I actually live, listen to me, from the pastor all the way down, all of us have a gap in our lives between what we know and what we actually walk out and what we actually live. And my goal of kind of just walking through series and topics and mindsets kind of on the slower route is not that we can learn something. You know you don't come to church to learn something. It's not like, oh, learn something. I never knew that. That was good. And then you go home and you add it to your Rolodex of information that you learned and you don't actually do. My goal is not to teach you something new. My goal is to provoke you into, I'm actually going to try that. I'm actually going to give that a shot. I'm going to apply it to my life and see where we can go with this. So over the next 2 weeks, over last week, we've been unpacking this mindset or this idea that sometimes traversing through romance, through marriage, through dating can feel like a jungle. Jungles are great places. They have beautiful animals and exotic fruit and waterfalls and canopies of leaves, and it can just be a peaceful and a calm place. It can also be a treacherous place. If you don't have a map, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know that that frog is poisonous and it is not cute and cuddly, no frogs are cute and cuddly, by the way, but if you don't know what you're doing, you can get yourself in trouble. As it is in the jungle, so it is in romance. It could be one of the greatest places of peace. It could be one of the greatest places of pleasure. It could be one of the greatest places of fulfillment. And it could be one of the greatest places of heartbreak. It could be one of the greatest places of tragedy. And it all depends on, do you have a roadmap? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what the destination is? And do you know how to get there? I was preaching last week, and I don't know if you missed last week's message, by the way. All the messages are put on YouTube Monday morning for free. You can go back and watch them. You can share them with your friends. Last Sunday's message is the highest viewed message we have ever preached at Destiny Church, which is just nuts. You missed it. You can go on back. But after one of the services, I was in the lobby and there was a whole bunch of girls there and they came up to me. They were all single and they were just like, oh my gosh, that message was crazy. I never thought about this or whatever it may be. And one of the girls said, I never want to get married. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, after that message, you have completely discouraged me from ever. I'm like, wasn't quite the goal of the message. What are you? It's like, marriage is difficult. I might say it's impossible, and I just don't need that drama in my life. We were all laughing except for her. I think she was actually serious. So we're going to pray for her, and God's going to hook her up. It's going to be all the way good. But what I find is, whether you're married or not, honestly, a lot of us have that mindset. Marriage is difficult. Marriage is hard. It's impossible. It's a lot. Like, ugh. And if you're married, this is the part of the message where you do nothing. You don't nod your head. You don't say amen. You don't say preach, preacher. Matter of fact, this is the point where you say, I don't know what he's talking about. But the reality is, for so many of us, whether we've seen failed marriages, we've been in a failed marriage, and we're on to see if there's something new that God has for us or whatever it may be, it can feel overwhelming. It can feel daunting. It can feel like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. And if it does, I don't know if it's going to be something that's joyful or pleasurable, or if it's just like serving hard time and surviving. I have a friend who actually is a pilot, and we were out with a bunch of church folks and eating dinner or whatever, and he was kind of just talking with me about kind of flying planes and all this other kind of stuff, and he was kind of laughing because he said, you know, my family won't fly with me. He flies like twin-engine planes, small planes, and all. He's like, my wife, my kids, they don't trust me enough to actually get into a plane that I'm flying. Now, they did take out a big insurance policy on me, and if the plane ever goes down, they will cash me in. I'm actually worth more to them dead than I am alive, but they don't want to fly with me. And he said, one of the reasons why is because they don't understand that plane crashes don't just happen. He said, there's no such thing as a random plane crash. He said, there are laws of aerodynamics. There are laws that govern a plane staying up in the air. And he says, as long as you obey those laws, your plane won't crash. He said, there's laws about how much weight a plane can carry based on the size of the plane. There's a law of where the nose is supposed to be pointed, how fast you can descend and ascend and all that other good stuff. And he says, as long as you're aware of those laws and you obey those laws, you have a guarantee that you will end up at your destination. Listen to me. There are laws of aerodynamics and there's laws of marriage. And what you need to understand is, if you learn the laws of marriage and you adhere to the laws of marriage, you will have a 100% guarantee that you will land at your destination. The problem is, many of us jump into marriage and don't really understand or even know what the laws are. And I'll be honest with you, me and my wife, we had amazing marriage counseling. One of my overseers did it, and it was great. We learned a lot about each other. We learned a lot about marriage. And then when we got married, we're like, we know nothing. They didn't talk about this in marriage counseling. They just talked about who's going to fold the clothes and who's going to iron and 50-50, 60-40, you know, how to communicate, how not to yell, and when you nail, how not to sound like you're yelling. We did all that. But, like, a lot of this, no one ever told us. And I find a lot of people, when it comes to marriage, it's kind of like you're making it up as you go along. But listen to me. God has laws. God has a way that you don't have a 50-50 chance. You have a 100% chance of success when you do it His way. Now, there are some misconceptions that people have about marriage that really kind of jacks things up. One of the major misconceptions that people have about marriage is that if I lose the feeling of love, if I lose the emotions of love, it must mean that I married the wrong person. Because if I had married the right person, I would have this ooey gooey fuzzy wuzzy feeling for the rest of my life. And because it's gone, maybe we're growing apart and maybe we need to go in opposite directions. Listen to me. Marriage is spelt not L-O-V-E. It is spelt W-O-R-K. It's work. So if the feelings are gone, it's simply because you're not putting in the work that you need to put in. And if you would start putting that work in, you will see the feelings return. Let me give you, here's what the best marriages look like. The best marriages are people, are a couple that have a high expectation of what their marriage is going to look like. And they have a high work ethic of getting their marriage to that place. We're not believing for average. We're not going to be roommates living in the same house. We're not going to be miserable. We're going to enjoy each other. We're going to thrive. It's going to be great. And we're willing to work to get there. Can I tell you the worst marriages? The worst marriages are when you have high expectations of your marriage, but a very low work ethic. Where you have these grand expectations of what marriage is going to be like, but you expect it to happen by osmosis. That we're just going to wake up, roll over in bed, look into each other's eyes, and poof, it's going to be the greatest marriage ever. It doesn't work that way. You need a great vision, but you need to have the willingness to put the work in to get there. Can I tell you what most marriages look like? We don't have great expectations, and we ain't working that hard. But I'm not disappointed because I expected marriage to be miserable and it's meeting my expectations. So we're all good. It is what it is. That's where you get the jokes about ball and chain and all that other kind of stuff. Listen to me. Marriage is work, but if you put the work in, it will be one of the greatest things you've ever experienced in life next to your relationship with Christ. But you kind of have to know what you're doing. You've heard all the sayings about, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. I have a couple of my own sayings for you. If the grass looks greener on the other side, it's because you're too far away to see the poop. I like that one. The other one is this. If the grass looks greener on the other side, it must mean you need to go get a hose and water your grass. It was so often things may look easier or better or, you know, they marry their soulmate. That's why they're thriving. Listen to me. Any marriage that doesn't just look good, but they're actually having a great marriage, I'm telling you, those are two people that have decided we're going to work at this. We're going to put the effort. We're going to put the focus in. It is so quiet in here, I can hear a cricket fart. Somebody say amen. So what I want to do today is kind of give you the key foundation, and I'll say it this way, to make any relationship work. Maybe marriage, maybe a dating relationship, maybe you're an employer and you're trying to figure out how do I create a work culture where my employees love to be here and they love to contribute and they go above and beyond. Maybe you're an older parent and you have adult children that have moved out of the house or teenagers and you're trying to feel, how do I build a relationship with them when I can't whoop them anymore? How do we establish a new normal? Or that's a concern, right? I can't whoop them. Now how do I relate to them? Whatever it may be, this applies to any relationship that you may be building. And I do have to, before I jump into this, I do have to apologize. Because I think I did set a lot of people up last week to ruin their marriage. Because I came in last Sunday and I said, the most important thing to a marriage is having a clear vision. If you don't have a vision, your marriage will perish. Whole bunch of people ran out here like, oh, crud, we don't got no vision. So you barely got home and you sat your wife down and said, babe, we need a vision for our life, a vision for our marriage, because we ain't going out like that. If I had to be honest with you, I went home and you know, I can't tell you guys how much fun it is to do what I do. This is my world. I get to stand on a platform and tell people how jacked up they are every week. It's like, I love it. Anyway, but what happens is when I'm finished preaching to you guys, then I go back into my office, and every time I go into my office, the Holy Spirit is waiting on me. And he's like, Stephen, that was a great message. I said, it was, wasn't it? And then he says, Stephen, how about your marriage? Ooh, right? How about your vision? I was just like, oh. So I went, I sat my wife down this week. It was a Tuesday. I said, babe, we're going to get a vision for our marriage. And you have to understand your pastor. I am like extra. Like extra is here, and I'm like here. So I didn't just say, babe, we need a vision. I had an Excel spreadsheet out, and I said, we need a vision for this, 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 this. I said, okay, babe, tell me your vision. What's your vision for this area? And I mean, you would think she was interrogation for a double homicide. I'm just like, what's this? And about 15 minutes, she said, bruh, back off. She said, this is just overwhelming. Like, this is a lot. And I realized, oh, gosh, I got a little eager. Listen to me. Vision is the biggest factor to a successful marriage, but it's not the place where you start. If you start with vision, you can get in trouble. What I'm going to give you today is the starting point of every single relationship. Somebody say, thanks for nothing, Pastor. You should have said that last week. Write this down. Here's the starting point. This is deep. This is biblical. It actually is. If you're not having fun, you're in danger. If you're not having fun, if you're not laughing together as a couple, if you're not joking, if you're not enjoying each other's company, if you're not spending leisure time together, listen to me. It's not that you need to work on it. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's not that you need to listen to these words. You are in danger. Me and my wife have been married going on 6 years this year, and we're still in a major argument about what our first date was. She claims that our first date, I took her to Double T Diner on Route 40. It's not the first date because I'm not a punk. I'd never take a girl to a diner for the first date. That wasn't the first date. That was when I was asking her, does she want to, like, talk or talk? You know what I'm talking about. It was the setup. We actually, I was a little super spiritual, so we went to like a worship night, and then afterwards I got her in the parking lot. I said, hey, you want to grab something to eat? Because I was planning this for like 3 weeks and all this other kind of stuff. Anyway, it was so bad. So we walk into Double T Diner, and we get pushed out of the way because the ambulance are carting a guy out on a gurney. I don't know if he just had a heart attack, if he had just eaten the key lime pie that was there for 3 months in the window or what, but they're dragging him out, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be bad. So I sit down, and like for an hour, we talked about nothing at all. I mean, just complete foolishness. And then finally, I was like, boy, you got to do this. You got to do this. So I said, you know, so I was thinking, right? And no, and I'm going to tell the truth so she don't have to come clean this up. So I was like, you know, I was thinking, and then I took a sip of water, and I choked. So I'm choking tears. I'm literally crying. Tears are coming down my face. And she's like, are you okay? And then I said, so what do you think? And she's like, think about what? You actually didn't say anything. So anyway, that was when we decided that we were going to date, but that wasn't the first date. The first date was the next Friday where I said, hey, you just be ready at 6 o'clock. Where are you going? Don't worry about where you're going. You just be ready. Come on now, fellas. And I asked all them questions. You just be ready. Showed up at her house, 6 o'clock, picked her up, drove her 2 hours to Philadelphia. She thought I was taking her to the Liberty Bell. I ain't doing no history on the first date. I didn't take her to the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell was just where the horse and carriage was picking us up. I ain't new to it. Horse and carriage picks us up. We jump into the carriage. She thought that I had made a mistake and only brought two blankets. No, I brought one blanket on purpose. Because I ain't been a pastor my whole life. But anyway, take a little horse ride around old Philadelphia out in the cold. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's so cold. We get back and here, I'm married, so I give you all my secrets. I don't need them anymore. Fellas, this is a really good one. Whenever you're taking a woman out on the first date, make sure you put her in a position where she's uncomfortable. And I'll explain that in a second. I know women in here, they can't do nothing about it. You will. Because here's why. They put those heels on and they look all gorgeous and all that pretty, and then they try to make you sweat and make you feel like you have to prove that you're man enough and all this other kind of stuff. So what you do is you put them on roller skates or ice skates or something where they don't got no heels and they worried about their eyelashes falling off and all that other good stuff. And now it's an even playing field and you ain't gonna put me out there. So I took her from horse carriage to ice skating. Put her on some ice skates. She out there doing the stanky leg the entire time. Got her. Then we walked up to a Cuban restaurant. It was amazing. Now, the whole date wasn't perfect. There was one thing 6 years later that still ticks me off. It was a two-hour drive from where she was in Samaria, also known as Lanham, PG County, all the way up to Philly. And I just had, I mean, two-hour drive. We're going to talk and share each other's dreams and all this other kind of stuff. About 30 minutes into the drive, one of her friends called. Exactly, right? Feeling me. Her friend's like, hey, what are you doing? She says, I'm on a date. Guess what the friend does? And this chick goes on to talk for the next 30 minutes. I don't know if to be mad at the friend that wasn't smart enough to be like, I'll call you tomorrow, or to be able to say, I'll call you back. I'm on a date. So she's on the phone for, I'm ticked off. Like praying in tongues, Holy Ghost, keep me back. Here's the point. All of you married folks or friends or whatever, you can think about that last time that you went on that special date, that time that you started that memory, that time where you laughed until you cried or whatever it may be. Here's the problem. For a lot of us, that was 6 years ago. For a lot of us, that was 3 years ago or 2 years ago or 10. For a lot of us, that was in the past. And since then, we've had more kids than we planned on. There's been job changes. There's been health concerns. Our parents have started to get older, and we haven't quite figured out how we're going to take care of them. Somebody may have gotten fired. There was disappointments. There was arguments. There were issues and all this other kind of stuff. And what's happened is the joy and the laughter has been sucked out of our relationships. And now it's all stress. It's all working. It's all adulting. And it's no fun. And then here's what happens. They're a lot more annoying than they were when we first got married. Like, I know we were opposites and opposites attract, but we're not opposites, we're enemies. Like, I mean, they have, and what happens is their differences start to grind your gears. And it's just like, why can't they have a decent conversation? Or why can't they do this? Or why can't they do that? Or whatever. And then we say dumb stuff like, you're not the person I married. Yes, they are. They were just as annoying 6 years ago as they are today. Here's the problem. 6 years ago, you were looking through the lens of joy and laughter. And because you were having so much fun together, you were admiring the attributes that were appealing to you, and you were ignoring the ones that were unappealing. But now you're no longer looking through the lens of fun and laughter and joy. You're looking through the lens of stress and being emotionally flooded and disappointment and arguments, and your lens is clouding what you're seeing. Having fun, laughing, enjoying your spouse is the biggest key to building a lasting marriage. It's not just a biblical thing, and I'll give you the Bible in a second. It's not just a life thing. It's a scientific thing. I was reading an article in USA Today about a psychologist, a professor at the University of Denver that actually has been studying and doing research on marriage, and he said that he finds that a couple that enjoys each other, a couple that laughs together, a couple that the name of today's message is A Roundaway Girl. I don't know why I named it that. I was just jamming to the song this week. And if you can find somebody that they just get your dumb jokes, that you enjoy, they just get me, they love me, we can laugh together. I'm telling you, that's the foundation of any relationship. Parents, if you're having issues connecting with your children, when's the last time you guys laughed together? When's the last time you guys enjoyed each other's company? The psychologist, he said, we found that a couple that laughs and enjoys each other has a more likelihood of making it than a couple that doesn't. What we've also found is since 1980 until today, the amount of time that couples spend enjoying each other's company is decreasing drastically. When they started their research, and as far back as they go, they said from 1980, 52% of the couples that we recorded or that we studied said that they would normally go out and visit friends, whether out to their house or go out to dinner with other couples or whatever it may be. It was their custom to go out and to enjoy company with other people. They said over the next 30 years, that number has dropped by 19%. They went on to say that back then, 64% of couples said that they would share one main meal a day, whether they eat breakfast together, meet up for a lunch date, or dinner together, or whatever it may be. That number has dropped by 18%. And they're just going through all the different statistics of a couple spending time together. And they said each year it drops lower and lower and lower. Now, here's the interesting thing. As we go on through history and technology begins to make things more convenient for us, we have more time in our life. Like back in the 1980s, 60s, 70s, on and on and on, being a housewife was like a full-time job. Like there was no microwave, there was no washing machine, there's no dishwasher. You are washing everyone by hand. Like when you're doing a load of clothes, it's like I'm doing a load of clothes. Nowadays, you want to wash clothes, go to Zips, drop them off. They'll be done by 5 o'clock. You want a microwave, whatever you need. We have all this technology that's putting more time in our lives. The only problem is we're not using that extra time to relate with each other more. We're filling the extra time with just more work. Wow. If you think, there's a book called Alone Together where they did research to find out how much time a couple spends together without a cell phone in their hand, without the TV on, and without a computer that they're working on. And the numbers are dismal. The reality is, if we don't start focusing on building real relationships together, we will find, the Bible says this in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a happy heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit drains your strength. Listen to me. If you're in a relationship that feels draining, it's because you guys aren't laughing together enough. It's because you aren't enjoying each other's company. And can I just be real for a second? It sounds childish. Does it make sense? Yeah, I don't got time to laugh. We got bills to pay. Y'all just want to laugh. If you were laughing so much, we wouldn't be in this position we're in right now. Laughing. I'll laugh when we got this taken care of. And that's why I had to say, if you're not laughing, you're in danger. Because what we figured out somewhere along the way, we've bought into this lie that adults don't laugh. That enjoying life is a childish thing. Being adult means that you're reserved and you're mature and you're responsible. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that if I have no joy, I have no strength. I'm preaching now. You know why work stinks so bad every Monday when you walk in? I tell you why, because my boss is crazy. The workload is insane. No. It's because you walk in on Monday stressed out. You walk in with no joy. You walk in already beat down. How about get you some laughter, get you some joy, get you some life, and watch you walk into the exact same miserable situation and dominate it? because you brought your own joy to the situation instead of waiting for that environment to dictate where you are. Come here, babe. Help me out with this real quickly. You have to see laughter and joy as kind. Well, let me say it this way. You have to see your spouse as a bank account. Give it up for my beautiful wife. Don't you look good? You look good every day, though. You have to see your spouse as a bank account. You have to see laughter and joy as a deposit. And you have to see not just arguments, but any adulting. Vision talk, paying bills, where are we going, what we doing with your mama, what we doing with my dad, how are we taking care of our kids or whatever it may be, all that is a withdrawal. Make sense? Yeah. So I actually have some money in my pocket. I don't think I'm going to get it back after this message, but let's just try this again. All right, so sitting down watching TV together isn't the best thing because you're not really laughing and enjoying, but at least you're spending time together. So we spend time watching Netflix together. That'd be like $4. I need that back. There's one more service. Or come home from work, put my phone away. She's not talking about, I hate your children, but we're actually like laughing about how the day went. $5. It's date night on Friday. We go. We're not tired. We're not exhausted. We're not tired. We're not irritable. We don't want to punch somebody in the face. We go out for a nice meal. This is hurting real bad. One thing I love about my wife, and we'll talk about this, she's made it her mission to find out stuff that I care about, and she's actually educated herself on stuff that I care about that she doesn't give a rip about, but she knows that I care about it, so she's learned about it just so that we can laugh together. So right now, I'm going to put her on the spot. Test her in the lobby. Ask her where she thinks all the NBA free agents are going this summer, and she will walk you through Anthony Davis. He ain't going to the Lakers. Kyrie, we all know he's going to New York. She will walk you through everything. And she don't care, but we come home, and I said, babe, they tried to trade the entire Lakers team to Pelicans, and they still couldn't get Anthony Davis. What I heard is they tried to send Lance Stephenson over there first, and the Pelicans said, you can keep Lance. We want nothing to do with him. You guys tracking, right? So watch this. Hey, babe, Zoe's a gymnast. She wants to travel, join this travel team. They're going to be in 7 different cities over 6 months. And I know that was your dream to be a gymnast. You're short enough to be a gymnast, but that never just... Focus. But that dream never came apart, and you wanted to be a... I just don't think that that's the best for our family right now. Cough it up, lady. Did you guys see that? That conversation withdrew emotional energy from our marriage. The only problem is it's not an issue because I was making deposits.
So good.
Try again? Yeah. All right, babe, we got to talk about your Amazon Prime account. Because these packages keep showing up at the door. And we do our budget meeting every month, and Amazon Prime is not a line item on the budget, so I'm confused. Where is that going? You're taking my preaching time. Give me. All right, give me all your money. Boom. So I got, don't go nowhere. Got all the money back, right? So watch this. Hey, Stephen, my cousin needs $50 for tuition, and I went ahead and gave it to them because you weren't there for me to talk to it about, right? That's a withdrawal. But she doesn't have any more joy because I've already withdrawn it all. So now $50 becomes the biggest fight we've had in 6 months. $50 don't mean a hill of beans. But because we've overdrafted an emotional account, the smallest things become the biggest issues in our marriage. Thank you. Give it up for my wife. I got all the money back, y'all. and we think it's because they have an issue or we have an issue or they're just hard-headed or they're not on our side or whatever it may be, when you don't realize all you've been doing for the last 5 years or 3 months or whatever is withdrawing, 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 and not depositing. And withdrawing is not a bad thing. Kids are a blessing, but they are a withdrawal. Does that make sense? That promotion you got at work is a blessing. It's from God, but it's a withdrawal. And if all we do is withdraw and we do not deposit laughter and joy and pleasure, listen to me, you will overdraft your relationship. And you will find yourself getting those 35 charges. Y'all know nothing about that $35. Hate Wells Fargo. All right. Second thing, write this down. Laughter doesn't happen accidentally. There's this misconception that, yeah, Pastor, we need to laugh, we need to have fun, but if it's not spontaneous, it's not real. Like, I shouldn't have to manufacture laughter. I shouldn't have to manufacture fun times. Question for you. When you were dating, how did it go down? Hey, girl. Oh, girl. I've been listening to LL Cool J all week long. Pray for me. I'm going to pick you up at 6. Be ready. Where are we going? Just be ready. I'm going to pick you up at 7. Hey, clear your Saturday. We got plans. You planned it then. How do you think that now that you're married, somehow because you live together, that all of a sudden it's just going to happen? It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by intentionality. And just because it's intentional doesn't mean it's not romantic. By the way, a man's idea of a date or a man's idea of joy and pleasure is completely different from a woman's idea of a date or joy and pleasure. A man thinks anytime you're with me, we're on a date. Am I right? So if you get in my truck and we go get an oil change together, what do you mean? And I'm not being ignorant. Come on, fellas. Your wife ever say, or girlfriend, we just don't spend a lot of time together anymore? And you're like, we've been together all day. What are you talking about? I'm so confused. It's just how we're wired. By the way, a man is more likely to say that his wife is his best friend than a woman is likely to say that her husband is her best friend. We're wired for friendship. By the way, let me just say this, and usually it's men who don't open up and speak. Sometimes it's women or whatever. If you're married or dating someone that they're just not very expressive, have fun with them. You'd be surprised how much somebody will open up and share their heart when they're having fun, because when they're having fun, they feel safe. Yeah. When I'm sitting in a couch and you're staring in my eyes saying, what are you thinking? I'm thinking you're trying to control me. And I'm not going to let you. Does that make sense? But when we're laughing, when we're enjoying each other, you'll be surprised the transparency that comes out. And it doesn't happen unless you plan it. I can't wait for 2 weeks when we have the sex message. It doesn't happen unless you plan it. Three quick sub-points. First thing is this, schedule your fun. Schedule your fun. You should have time daily. You should have time every day where cell phones are not in your hand. You should have a technology-free zone where you say, hey, for this time, you put your phone away, I'm going to put my phone away, we're going to laugh, we're going to talk, we're going to enjoy each other, we'll pick them up later, but this time I'm locked in on you and I'm not going to compete between Instagram and what you're telling me. You should have weekly times, you should have monthly times, and you have seasonal times. The second thing is prepare for the times of fun. Can I tell you how to have a miserable date? Plan Friday. Hey, oh, I am all over the place. I said what men like, I didn't say what women like. So a guy's idea of a date is that if you're just with me, it's a date. A woman's idea of a date is it's not a date unless there's been extensive planning that has been put into our outing. Now, fellas, you have to understand this. You're going to put extensive planning in, and she's going to change all your plans. So it's not that your plans are going to work. It's just that she wants to see that you sweated a little bit to make it happen. And it's not just extensive planning, but there needs to be some type of sentiment or meaning to the date. Like, why did you pick this restaurant? Because I like the food. It's not good enough. It has to be, I picked this restaurant because it's on the street corner that we drove by on the third month we were dating, the second week that I said, are we talking? Do you remember that, babe? This is our special place. By the way, she don't remember either, so just lie and say it's a special place. Everywhere is our special place. And there has to be conversation for it to be a date. But here's the thing. If you worked a 12-hour day, you got in 4 arguments, you were in 5 meetings back to back to back, and you want to slap your boss, but you can't because you'll lose your job, and the only person you're with is with your spouse, guess who's getting slapped? You have to see that time of having fun, that date night or whatever it is, as sacred time. I'm not going to come in exhausted. I'm not going to come in stressed out and worried. I'm not going to bring all the baggage from kids, work, mama, daddy, all that other good stuff. I'm going to make sure that I'm fully invested in this time. Women, do not fall asleep on the drive home. We did not buy you that steak because we wanted your belly to be full. We need you awake. The date has not begun yet. And all the married men said, amen. Stayed up all night to get lucky. But anyway, this just took a very bad turn. You're going to have to plan it. And then the third thing is this. You need to find something that you have in common. And listen to me, this is going to take work. It's going to take work for you guys to figure out what do we enjoy together. Now, there's going to be some things like my wife where she'll watch sports with me. She's not a sports fanatic or whatever, but she figured out that I like that, so she'll do that so that we can do it together. I've figured out stuff that she likes that we can do together. But you're going to have to figure out what do we both enjoy that when we're doing it, like we're just laughing and just this is our deal. For me and my wife, what we figured out was we love real estate. So our idea of a date day is we jump in the car on our day off and we'll go through Zillow and figure out what's available. And we'll just start driving around looking at stuff we can't afford. We can't buy it. We can't afford it. But we'll just drive. Babe, that would be the perfect flip. Like I'd knock this out. And we start talking through renovation plans. You would think we were about to buy it as much as we're outlining this thing and all. And we're like, okay, cool. On to the next one. And that's just our deal. We'll watch HGTV and we'll renovate houses that we will never own. But that's just, what's your deal? If you don't have a deal, you're going to look up and you're going to find out that our best times are spent separate. And you're in danger. Last thing, come plain, we're going to land this plane. Don't wait for love to build it. So here's what I realize. That for some of you, you're blessed. You've had fun times 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, or whatever it may be. And this is kind of just that was good. Let's get back to that. That's good. But for some of you, it's been 5 years. It's been 6 years. There's been a fair that's taken place since that time. There's been a time where I got fired from my job, and instead of you building me up, you beat me down. There's been arguments. There's been disappointments. There's been contention. There's been issues. And let's be real. We're not just going to go home and start laughing and having fun. What needs to happen first, whether your spouse is here or not, is there needs to be a conversation. I'm committed to you. We're going to make this work. And I am willing to put in all the effort necessary to build this where it needs to go. And I think the first step is us enjoying each other together. Me and my wife were talking about this, and she was like, yeah, that's really good. Make sure to tell him that, because wives might just show up and start commenting on the basketball game, and he's going to get irritated because he's like, you never cared. Go away. I'm watching. So don't just, like, sneak in the fun. Like, talk about it first and say, hey, let's start building. This is where we're going. And listen to me. Don't wait to feel it. When you got married, and you, Pastor Damon just did a wedding on Saturday, here's what he did not ask the groom. He did not ask the groom, how do you feel about her? And he did not ask the bride, how do you feel about him? He didn't care about their feelings. What he said to the groom is, what's your vow to her? And he asked the bride, what's your vow to him? And they exchanged vows. They didn't exchange feelings. We're like, I don't want to laugh with them because I don't like them right now. Well, get over your feelings and remember your vow of we're going to build this thing. And watch this, your feelings will follow. Feelings are a great slave. They are a horrible master. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your... Is it okay if I say feelings? There your heart, your feelings will be also. What's your treasure? It's not your money. It's your time. Your time is the most valuable thing you have. It's the only thing you have that once you spend it, you can never get it back. When you invest time, feelings follow. Don't wait for the feelings. Say, hey, we're gonna go out. We're gonna laugh. I'm gonna be awake all night. We're gonna do this. Let's go. Let's gonna have fun. And when you start investing on that level, you're gonna see the joy come. Then you can talk vision. Then you can figure out communication. Then you can build out from there. But start with, hey, let's be best friends again. Father God, we're grateful. God, we're thankful. God, that you're knitting us together. God, I pray in this moment, God, that you would dissipate all hurt, all pain, all disappointment. And God, bring us back to a place where we're committed to each other, not just based on feelings, but based on the covenant that you have brought us to. Right where you are with your eyes closed and your head bowed, if you could pray this prayer, say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And just give God a moment to make this time personal to you. Maybe married or not, single or wherever you are in life, you just recognize right now I'm lacking joy. And I am finding it an effort just to wake up in the morning and walk into that job and deal with people. In this moment, God can restore your joy. In this moment, God can fill you up with something that nothing in this world, as the old folks used to say, can take away. Maybe you're in here and you realize that I never looked to God as the source of my life. I've never even surrendered my life to him. I thought God was a good and bad, don't do wrong type of thing. I didn't know that I needed him for my entire life. Pastor, in this moment, I want him in my life. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, it would be my greatest honor, my greatest privilege to introduce you to a God that loves you more than you could ever love yourself. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I've been trying to do it on my own, but no longer. I need God in my life. I'm not going to have you stand up or come up front, but right where you're sitting, can you pray this prayer with me? Say, Lord God, thank you for not giving up on me. In this moment, I surrender. I give you control, and I accept you into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Be my Lord and my Savior.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.